2. Intruder. By the year 2130, the Mars-based radars were discovering new asteroids at the rate of a dozen a day. The Space Guard computers automatically calculated their orbits and stored the information in their own enormous memories, so that every few months, any interested astronomer could have a look at the accumulated statistics. These were now quite impressive. It had taken more than 120 years to collect the first 1,000 asteroids, since the discovery of Ceres, largest of these tiny worlds, on the very first day of the 19th century. Hundreds had been found and lost and found again. They existed in such swarms that one exasperated astronomer had christened them Vermin of the Skies. He would have been appalled to know that Space Guard was now keeping track of 500,000. Only the five giants, Ceres, Pallas, Juno, Eunomia, and Vesta, were more than 200 kilometers in diameter. The vast majority were merely oversized boulders that would fit into a small park. Almost all moved in orbits that lay beyond Mars. Only the few that came far enough sunward to be a possible danger to Earth were the concern of Space Guard. And not one in 1,000 of these, during the entire future history of the solar system, would pass within 1,000,000 kilometers of Earth. The object first cataloged as 31-439, according to the year and the order of its discovery, was detected while it was still outside the orbit of Jupiter. There was nothing unusual about its location. Many asteroids went beyond Saturn before turning once more toward their distant master, the Sun. And Thule II, most far-ranging of all, traveled so close to Uranus that it might well be a lost moon of that planet. But a first radar contact at such a distance was unprecedented. Clearly, 31-439 must be of exceptional size. From the strength of the echo, the computers deduced a diameter of at least 40 kilometers. Such a giant had not been discovered for 100 years. That it had been overlooked for so long seemed incredible. Then the orbit was calculated, and the mystery was resolved, to be replaced by a greater one. 31-439 was not traveling on a normal asteroidal path, along an ellipse, which it retracted with clockwork precision every few years. It was a lonely wanderer among the stars, making its first and last visit to the solar system, for it was moving so swiftly that the gravitational field of the Sun could never capture it. It would flash inward past the orbits of Jupiter, Mars, Earth, Venus, and Mercury, gaining speed as it did so, until it rounded the Sun and headed out once again into the unknown. It was at this point that the computers started flashing their "We have something interesting" sign, and for the first time, 31-439 came to the attention of human beings. There was a brief flurry of excitement at Space Guard headquarters, and the interstellar vagabond was quickly dignified by a name instead of a mere number. Long ago, the astronomers had exhausted Greek and Roman mythology. Now they were working through the Hindu pantheon, and so 31-439 was christened Rama. For a few days, the news media made a fuss over the visitor, but they were badly handicapped by the sparsity of information. Only two facts were known about Rama: its unusual orbit and its approximate size. Even this last was merely an educated guess, based upon the strength of the radar echo. Through the telescope, Rama still appeared as a faint 15th magnitude star, much too small to show a visible disk. But as it plunged in toward the heart of the solar system, it would grow brighter and larger month by month. Before it vanished forever, the orbiting observatories would be able to gather more precise information about its shape and size. There was plenty of time, and perhaps during the next few years, some spaceship on its ordinary business might be routed close enough to get good photographs. An actual rendezvous was most unlikely. The energy cost would be far too great to permit physical contact with an object cutting across the orbits of the planets at more than 100,000 kilometers an hour. So the world soon forgot about Rama. But the astronomers did not. Their excitement grew with the passing months as the new asteroid presented them with more and more puzzles. First of all, there was the problem of Rama's light curve. It didn't have one. All known asteroids, without exception, showed a slow variation in their brilliance, waxing and waning in a period of a few hours. It had been recognized for more than two centuries that this was an inevitable result of their spin and their irregular shape. As they toppled end over end along their orbits, the reflecting surfaces they presented to the sun were continually changing, and their brightness varied accordingly. Rama showed no such changes. Either it was not spinning at all, or it was perfectly symmetrical. Both explanations seemed unlikely. There the matter rested for several months, because none of the big orbiting telescopes could be spared from their regular job of peering into the remote depths of the universe. Space astronomy was an expensive hobby, and time on a large instrument could easily cost $1,000 a minute. Dr. William Stenton would never have been able to grab the far side 200-meter reflector for a full quarter of an hour if a more important program had not been temporarily derailed by the failure of a 50-cent capacitor. One astronomer's bad luck was his good fortune. Stenton did not know what he had caught until the next day, when he was able to get computer time to process his results. Even when they were finally flashed on his display screen, it took him several minutes to understand what they meant. The sunlight reflected from Rama was not, after all, absolutely constant in its intensity. There was a very small variation, hard to detect, but quite unmistakable, and extremely regular. Like all the other asteroids, Rama was indeed spinning. But whereas the normal day for an asteroid was several hours, Rama's was only 4 minutes. Stenton did some quick calculations and found it hard to believe the results. At its equator, this tiny world must be spinning at more than 1,000 kilometers an hour. It would be rather unhealthy to attempt a landing anywhere except at the poles, because the centrifugal force at the equator would be powerful enough to flick any loose objects away from it at an acceleration of almost 1 gravity. Rama was a rolling stone that could never have gathered any cosmic moss. It was surprising that such a body had managed to hold itself together and had not long ago shattered into 1,000,000 fragments. An object 40 kilometers across, with a rotation period of only 4 minutes. Where did that fit into the astronomical scheme of things? Dr. Stenton was a somewhat imaginative man, a little too prone to jump to conclusions. He now jumped to one that gave him an uncomfortable few minutes indeed. The only specimen of the celestial zoo that fitted this description was a collapsed star. Perhaps Rama was a dead sun, a madly spinning sphere of neutronium, every cubic centimeter weighing billions of tons. At this point, there flashed briefly through Stenton's horrified mind the memory of that timeless classic, H.G. Wells's The Star. He had first read it as a small boy, and it had helped to spark his interest in astronomy. Across more than two centuries of time, it had lost none of its magic and its terror. He would never forget the images of hurricanes and tidal waves, of cities sliding into the sea, as that other visitor from the stars smashed into Jupiter and then fell sunward past the Earth. True, the star that old Wells described was not cold, but incandescent, and wrought much of its destruction by heat. That scarcely mattered. Even if Rama was a cold body, reflecting only the light of the sun, it could kill by gravity as easily as by fire. Any stellar mass intruding into the solar system would completely distort the orbits of the planets. The Earth had only to move a few million kilometers sunward, or starward, for the delicate balance of climate to be destroyed. The Antarctic ice cap could melt and flood all low-lying land, or the oceans could freeze and the whole world be locked in eternal winter. Just a nudge in either direction would be enough. Then Stenton relaxed and breathed a sigh of relief. This was all nonsense. He should be ashamed of himself. Rama could not possibly be made of condensed matter. No star-sized mass could penetrate so deeply into the solar system without producing disturbances that would have betrayed it long ago. The orbits of all the planets would have been affected. That, after all, was how Neptune, Pluto, and Persephone had been discovered. No, it was utterly impossible for an object as massive as a dead sun to sneak up unobserved. In a way, it was a pity. An encounter with a dark star would have been quite exciting while it lasted.